Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, April 29th, 2015. And with me today, I have... Wow. I've only been talking to you guys for like half an hour. I have John Waterlaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. It's a bright, sunny, blue sky, warm morning. I'm so pleased. Soggy rain's gone.
I am so glad that you were pleased. And Kelly Gumont, how are you today, Kelly?
Well, I'm a lot better now that you remembered my name.
Well, it's kind of funny because all of a sudden I was like, wait, who do I have on the show today?
People and talking about stuff and things.
Yeah, well, I had Buzz Lightyear and Daleks and Scaro. Yeah.
And now you've got Spock and Princess Leia on the show, right?
Yeah, it's easy to get off track.
Yeah, all that stuff was bouncing around in my head, and and apparently I do have a finite amount of RAM in my brain, and so it buffered out Kelly and John in favor of
Spock and Leia.
Yeah, there you go. Anyhow, hey, we have a sponsor today, and our sponsor is Casper, the awesome mattress company.
Which is why Jeff sounds so chipper today.
Yeah. Well, that my allergies are getting better again.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So we'll be talking about Casper in just a bit. But before we do that, so Kelly, a couple days ago, on earnings report day, you wrote up the news that Tim Cook dropped on everyone, which is that Best Buy is switching from Current C, which is a wireless payment transaction system competing with Apple Pay from a company.
Announceware, by the way.
Yes, Announceware from MCX. So this product isn't even out yet so that retailers can use it.
Right.
Best Buy, Walmart, Rite Aid, all are big companies.
CVS. They were the big one.
That's right, CVS.
Yeah.
So they are all on board with this alternative to Apple Pay. And during Apple's earnings report, Tim Cook said that Best Buy is switching to Apple Pay. They updated their app that very day.
So you can include Touch ID and Apple Pay right within the app.
Yep. And then later this year, you'll be able to use your iPhone and Apple Watch to make or to complete your transactions in Best Buy retail stores as well.
Yes. So this is very exciting for a few reasons. The first of which is, if you remember, however many ages of man ago it was, when the iPhone 6 was released and everybody went, oh, OMG Apple Pay, and everybody went out and tried it everywhere they could, and people were sort of able to do it at CVS kind of on the low, like they had turned it on for Google Wallet or something, and it was working, and nobody realized it was working, and then when they realized it was working, they had to turn it off altogether. And anybody who'd been able to make any sort of contactless payment previously was now unable to do so. CVS had to turn the whole thing off because of this exclusivity clause in the agreement that they had with MCX that was going to use currency. And the thing about currency is that it was not for credit cards. It was only for your bank account. And one of the leaders of the MCX alliance, I guess, was Walmart. And the reason Walmart was excited about this was because, and this is a direct quote from a Walmart executive, "I want to see Visa hurt." And that is why they were summarily rejecting anything that allowed people to use credit cards more easily in a Walmart store.
Nothing like putting your customers first and having a lot of agenda.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So currency cuts credit cards out of the transaction process and gives retailers a direct link into your bank account.
And the information in the app is not secure, and their servers were hacked. Now, they didn't have any payment information in them at this point. All they really were able to get a hold of was a list of people who had said, you know, send me an email when this is finally a thing because I'm interested in it. So they weren't able to get any actual data, but they were able to get in. And that's not what you want to hear about somebody that wants direct access to your bank account.
Because remember, nobody's getting my bank account number.
Right. So with a credit card, you just get a new number, or they call you and they say, you know, did you really buy $300 worth of auto parts, you know? And I'm like, yeah, no. And then, so they're like, okay, well, someone in Florida is using your credit card number. Thank you. Goodbye.
You get that customary protection, $50 limit, right?
Yeah. And so then it's easy. It's resolved. It costs me nothing. Now, have this problem with the bank because this actually happened once. Somebody was able to get a, I've seen this with PayPal accounts a lot of times because PayPal wants a direct hook into your bank account. And if you end up on the wrong side of PayPal and you start trying to dispute everything with PayPal, it takes the bank forever to put things back, which is another reason that it's actually better to use a credit card because it's way easier to get a new credit card number and those protections seem to already be really commonplace on the credit card side of transactions, on the bank account side, not so much. Right. So
anyhow, to cut to the chase.
Yes.
Currency is riddled with problems for consumers, but for retailers could be a really great thing. So this is not a consumer oriented thing. And now Best Buy has pulled out. So they're going with Apple Pay instead. And the big fallout from that, immediate fallout, is that, hey, MCX, they have a new CEO already. Their CEO is out the door, and the reasoning is because he has left to pursue other opportunities. Now, that's corporate speak for he was fired.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, there's a direct correlation between the Best Buy announcement and his being fired.
Because he was fired yesterday, the day after the call, when Tim Cook said, by the way, Best Buy is taking Apple Pay this minute if you go update the app on your phone.
Right. Now, assuming that Best Buy is the reason he was fired, I totally get that. But it's more likely Best Buy leaving is a side effect of how he was running the company. Mm-hmm. And that was just a physical manifestation or very forward manifestation of the problems that MCX and Currency are having and why he was fired.
So, you know, if you have members with an agenda and you're fighting with them and you're trying to lead them out of a difficult situation, and then the people who are in the consortium are thinking about how the other guys are thinking about how they're not being able to make their customers happy because one of their members has an agenda, that's going to create a lot of problem.
Yes, it is. And mm-hmm. every company that signed on for this consortium, they all have their own agenda. And there's some overlap, of course, otherwise they wouldn't be there. But they're all coming in with their own expectations, desires, needs, well, their own agenda mm-hmm. for being part of this. And when something like that happens, it always falls apart on some level.
Hey, I have some happy news to report on Apple Pay.
And what would that be, John?
Well, every time I go into a store that doesn't take Apple Pay, I try to look for a customer service rep, you know, one of the managers or something, and I'd say, gee, I'd surely like to use Apple Pay. And in the past, I've had their shrug, or they'd say, what's that? So I was in Costco yesterday doing some shopping, and I talked to the customer service desk, and I said, are you guys going to take Apple Pay soon? She said, yeah, I think so, within the next year. And then later I was at the grocery store, which has been really sort of doofus. It's one of the Kroger mm-hmm. subsidiaries.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time yesterday, I asked one of the customer service reps, and they said, yeah, we think it's coming.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a sea change in the people I'm talking to with the stores that I've been to.
Well, for a lot of these stores, it probably comes down to when are they getting their new credit card readers? And right. when that happens,
yeah.
then they'll be in a much better position to take Apple Pay because a lot of retailers, they don't have the wireless NFC-based card readers yet.
Yeah, they don't have the hardware for it right now.
Right. Well, you know, at Christmas time, we took some friends into a yarn shop in Littleton. It's a little tiny shop, you know, downtown Littleton on the street corner. And our friend bought some yarn because she's a big knitter. And the little tiny yarn shop had this little handheld device about the size of a calculator, and we did Apple Pay on it. I was amazed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
Yeah. So you can do it if you want to.
Well, my guess is that you're going to be seeing more places taking Apple Pay before you ever see any place seriously getting on to the current C bandwagon. Mm-hmm. My guess is that Walmart will be the big holdout, and they will continue to hold out until the bitter end.
Yes.
And the next step is it'll just fold. It'll just quietly go away, right?
Here's hoping.
It's totally possible.
Yeah.
It could happen.
So remember there was a press conference about this, about MCX initially last year in like October. And one of the things that they said was that there's no sort of penalty for ending your relationship with MCX. But if you have a relationship with MCX, that relationship is exclusive, which is where everybody had to say, we're turning off all the payment systems, all the contactless payments because of MCX. We're a member of this other thing. So either, and I tried to get a hold of some people and nobody got back to me, the exclusivity was for a year or something and they all signed up last spring and now that exclusivity is run out and so that's why Best Buy is able to do this, or Best Buy sort of saw which way the wind was blowing and by virtue of being Best Buy, who's had to close a ton of stores, lay off a truckload of people, they sort of realized that that people who buy technology and people who buy Apple technology are likely to buy more technology if you let them wave their phone at the thing in order to pay. So I sort of enjoy this. And I remember as more information came out about MCX, because I wrote up the press conference and the blog post they put out trying to defend themselves after all the flap with CVS. It sort of became a joke, as Brian would say, lol currency.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning, as we were discussing this, and Jeff, you were talking to us about the CEO leaving. I took such delight in hearing that news. I actually came up with a new word, and it is, are you ready, kids? Get a pen. Schopenfreude.
That's awesome.
Nice.
So it is taking delight in the collapse of a payment system, which was never a very good idea in the first place, that lots of people, if you explain to them it's hooked directly into their bank account, are not going to use. So Schopenfreude. Well,
Kelly, I read an article a while back that suggested that the exclusivity agreement was expiring.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it could have been that. Like they got everybody in a room last February and it was for a year and now here we are. So
yeah,
I'm
not much of an exclusive deal if they still haven't even rolled out the service.
Exactly.
But, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a sponsor this week. I believe
we do.
I have mentioned that.
Nice.
Yes. And our sponsor is Casper, the mattress company. And
excellent.
Yes. And I love my Casper mattress. I'm sleeping so much better than I used to on my mattress. And I love that this company totally gets how to make a mattress. And I've tried a lot over the years. And it just turns out a lot of these mattresses are not very good. Or you have to pay insane amounts of money. I've paid a lot of money for mattresses. Like a lot of money, and I wish that Casper had been around all those years ago, so I could have just bought one of these and been done with it. So I think the last mattress that I had before my Casper cost me almost $2,000. And granted, it was a really nice mattress, but I like my Casper better, and it's $850.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a.
Now, that's the retail price.
That's the retail price. But because you listen to Daily Observations, if you use the discount code TDO, you get $50 off, which is even better. So, yeah, totally awesome. Instead of doing traditional mattress design, they went with foam. And so they did this really great thing where they picked exactly the right types of foam materials to sandwich together to give you the right amount of support and the right amount of squish, and to have it so that it doesn't like just radiate heat when you're laying in the bed. Some foam mattresses are just like heat radiators. It's horrible. But not the Casper mattress. I'm absolutely loving mine. It's been fantastic. And they deliver them right to your door. So that's part of the reason why they don't cost as much as other mattresses, because there is no showroom to go to. So they send you this box. The mattress comes out of the box, and it's bigger than the box it goes in. So yay, Time Lord technology. And you lay the mattress out and put your sheets on it, and you're done. Like, really, you can take it out of the box and start sleeping in like 5 minutes. And an absolutely wonderful mattress. And if for some reason you're like, oh, wow, this one didn't work for me, I'd be really surprised. But, you know, it could happen. They'll take it back. And they'll refund your money, and you won't even pay shipping to have the mattress go back to them. So this is like a totally perfect scenario to get yourself a brand new bed so that you can sleep better without having to worry about making a major financial investment that later on you'd be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But you won't do that. You're just going to love the mattress. So what you need to do is go to casper.com/TDO, and I'll make sure there's a link in today's show notes article, and then use a discount code TDO, and you'll get $50 off any mattress that you decide to buy. And then it's delivered right to your door, free shipping, and get one. Since not everyone can come and sleep in my bed, you can get your own, and it will be like you're actually sleeping in my bed with me, which will be totally awesome. We'll be so much closer. So casper.com/TDO, and use the discount code TDO and start sleeping better right away. All right. So the other thing I wanted to take a look at today is a report from a financial analyst, Brian White. He's from Cantor Fitzgerald, and he has his reaction to Apple's quarterly earnings report out. And his big takeaway is that the Apple Watch, even though not many are getting out to people yet, is going to turn out to be the best-selling new product in the company's history. And so what he's looking at is a 12-month cycle. So over the year that Apple Watch, or the first year of Apple Watch availability, it's going to be the best-selling new product Apple has ever had. And that's amazing, and that's fantastic, and assuming it comes true. But the thing that I really wanted to take a look at from his report isn't the Apple Watch. He also talked about how he thinks Apple is currently innovating more than it ever has in the company's history. And so he talked about the Apple Watch. He talked about the reports of the Apple Car. And if you remember, that's a story that Brian had been working on for a while, and got some real serious sources to confirm what's going on. Mm-hmm. But then he also said personal robots.
Caught my attention.
I'm like, listening.
Oh, do tell.
Yes.
And he didn't offer up any more details, but I thought, personal robots from Apple.
You know, I've been hammering on Apple in my Particle Debris and other columns about robots and being passed over. But this is the first time I've seen an analyst bring it up as a serious subject for Apple to look into. Because, you know, there's so much lore and there's so much momentum towards this idea of artificial intelligence and robots, and it's all on our minds. And there's so much concern about robots gone bad and gone wrong, and companies that build robots with their own agenda and don't adhere to Asimov's three laws. And all of that stuff.
Oh, John. This is why I love you. And because you brought up the laws of robotics.
Sure, sure. And you just know that the first robots don't really make a big fuss about that. But I'm the reason I'm inspired by this little tiny comment by Mr. White is because, you know, if any company is going to do personal robots right, it's going to be Apple.
Hey, I totally have to derail this for 1 second here. Rattle off the laws of robotics, because I know you can do it.
Oh, no, I don't have them in front of me, and I don't remember them in detail. I think it's something to do with you have to follow the commands that are given to you, and then the second command is a robot cannot harm itself, and then the third is a robot cannot be ordered, something on the order of a robot cannot be ordered to harm another human. or something along those lines.
Well, the first law is you can't injure a human. It can't injure a human or allow a human to come to harm, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then a robot must obey orders. The second law is
you're onto
that
it. You have a better memory.
Obey orders unless it conflicts with the first law.
Right.
And then protect its own existence as long as it doesn't conflict with the first and second law.
Yeah, so you can't tell a robot to go jump off a cliff and then you attack its owner. Yeah.
Yeah. So is that...
Yeah, I think you nailed it pretty much.
There you go. All right, so in today's round of who's the more awesome sci-fi nerd, Kelly beat John. Yeah. Mark the day on your calendars, people. That
seriously, this is rare.
Yeah. So, yeah, the idea of Apple creating personal robots, I think, is incredibly fascinating.
Now, remember, they sort of have.
They sort of have. That's true. And do tell, Kelly, what are you referring to?
one of my favorite movies, WALL-E, because it was actually not really a secret that they went to that Pixar and Apple sort of worked that out together, specifically the design of Eve. Mm-hmm. So if you've kind of ever looked at her and gone, wow, she looks like an iPod, you were right. Because it was the same person behind both of their designs.
That's true. And a bit of trivia for some people that may not have noticed, when WALL-E recharges and then reboots, the sound that he makes is an Apple startup chime.
Mm-hmm. It's the old Apple startup sound.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so for Apple in robotics, since Brian White is talking about personal robotics, I'm thinking that we're looking at initially what I'll call simpler robotic devices, like Kelly, you mentioned when we were talking before the show, something like a Roomba.
Mm-hmm.
So a device that can roam around your house and clean the floors for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, so personal assistant type devices. But, you know, as technology progresses, that could lead to more interactive types of robotics. Can you imagine?
Have you seen Honda's Asimo?
Yes, actually I have in person?
Yeah.
In robot. Whatever it is. They had one at Epcot and they would give demonstrations with it once when I was there.
I think they're the leader in at least the physical design of the robots. There's so much about that. As Asimo is only 5 feet tall, so it's not very intimidating.
Right. Well,
imagine a robotic avatar, like an Asimo sort of thing, but with the elegance of Apple design that embodies Siri for you. So now Siri moves out of your phone and out of your watch and becomes a physical entity that is helping you out.
Well, you know, that's what I read about the other day. That Google had a patent on robot personalities where you'd be able to download the personality of choice and sort of profile your robot. So if you want your robot to have the personality of, say, for example, Scarlett Johansson, then you could do that, provided that, you know, there was no copyright issues or something. I don't think there are.
And that you could cross the uncanny valley.
There you go. Yes. So anyhow, I'm kind of hoping that Apple really is looking at spending some of its R&D bankroll on personal robotics. And oh my God, can you imagine just how cool that would be? Because if anyone could get the whole personal interfacing part of working with a robot right, I'm betting it's Apple.
Yeah, you could get into the car and have your Apple robot get into the Apple car with you and drive you somewhere and carry out the groceries.
Yeah,
No, I need the robot to stay home so I can ask it how many cans of tuna fish I actually do have, so I don't come home with way more than I'm in.
Assuming you can get your garage door open.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Yeah. Hey, Siri, how many cans of tuna do I need? Mm-hmm. I know there's like three people out there that are looking at their iPhones because it's doing Google searches down for tuna. Yeah. Sorry about that, people. Hey, we're out of time.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're going to have to wrap up.
This has been fun.
It has been fun. And I'm really kind of hoping we do get to see Apple robots at some point. That would be so cool.
I need to go back and refresh my memory on those laws. Thanks, Kelly.
Foreign contaminant.
We all need a little Mo rolling around our house.
I do. I really do.
Yeah. Hey, Casper, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself an awesome new bed so you can start sleeping better just like I do. And listeners, thank you so much for being with us. And head on over to the iTunes store and rate the show for us, because it's always great to get your feedback. And when you offer your feedback at the iTunes store, then it makes it easier for other people to find the show and join in on all the fun. And witness when John has to deal with nerd shame for not being able to recite the laws of robotics.
So I'm John, slapping myself.
Yes. Now go iron your hands. John, thank you for being here today.
You bet.
Kelly, thank you for being here and for knowing the laws of robotics and giving us Schopenfreude.
You're more than welcome.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.